Testing. I hope you melted into his peace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you are.
Well, I'm Patricia. My husband's in the back, David Loggy, with Holy Spirit-led Ministries. And this is Larissa. She's our assistant. And we're going to watch a video. It's called Stop It. And you might think it's kind of harsh, but you know what? People have been healed watching it. And it lines up with the Word of God. So just receive what it has to say. And stop it. Yes, let God be God. So just watch it and receive all the good God has in it, okay? It's after a Bob Newhart video. So some of you that are younger might not get it as much.
Dr. Spencer?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm Catherine Deacon. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Yeah, she told me a little bit about you. Come in and have a seat. Okay, I want to, first of all, clear up our billing policy, make that clear to you. Jesus paid it all, okay, so it will not cost you a thing, so there's no charge for this.
That sounds great. Too good to be true, in fact.
Okay, so what is the problem that you wish to address?
Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box, and I begin to think about it and think.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you in a box?
No. But just thinking about it makes my life horrible. I can't go through a tunnel or be in an elevator or anything boxy.
Boxy. Oh, so you're just saying you're claustrophobic, is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel afraid right now?
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Well, yes. Actually, I have a constant feeling of anxiety about it.
Okay. Let's take care of that. In the name of Jesus, anxiety, be gone. Devil, stop harassing her. And how does that feel?
Actually, I feel better.
All the way better?
Well, yeah.
Like a normal person?
Right. I feel better.
Okay, good. Mission accomplished.
What did you do?
Well, I told it to go. It had to go. So you were set free from that. Is there anything else that you would like to discuss?
Well, every night this happens. I go to bed and I think that I'm burying myself.
Okay, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. Okay? And I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Okay? And then I want you to incorporate them into your life when you leave this office.
Okay.
Well, it's only two words. I find that most people can remember that.
Oh, of course.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Here are the two words. Stop it.
Excuse me?
Stop it.
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P-I-T. Stop it. Stop it.
What are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I can tell you there are people who say exactly what you're saying right now.
So, I should just stop it?
Yes. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop what?
What you were about to start going on about. Stop it.
Every night, this
happens. Stop it. Okay, you're a Christian, right?
Of course.
And you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Okay, so what does Philippians 4:6 say?
Be anxious for nothing.
Okay, so now does that sound like a suggestion, a good idea, or a command?
A command.
So do that. Stop it.
Okay. You make it sound so simple. It's not that easy to overcome fear like that.
Okay. You're a Christian, right?
Yes.
And you believe the Bible, right?
Yes.
Then what does Philippians 4:13 say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So you won't have any problem doing it.
Okay, you don't understand. My family has a history.
No. We don't go there.
Go where?
The past, your family, other people's problems.
In the past, these
I said, stop it. You're a Christian, right?
Yes.
And you believe the Bible, right?
Yes.
So what does Philippians 3:13 say?
Forget what is behind.
Okay, so do that. Stop it.
But I become afraid every single
Stop
time.
It.
Stop what?
Predicting that you're going to become afraid. What, you want to curse yourself or something? Do you want to go through life being afraid of being buried alive in a box?
But how do I overcome the fear?
Okay. You're a Christian, right?
Yes, I believe the Bible.
Okay. What does 2 Timothy 1:7 say?
I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind.
So what do you want? A spirit of fear?
Well, obviously no, which is why I'm here.
So don't go there.
Okay.
Stop it.
A lot of this is my own fault. I've sinned in my life.
Stop it!
What? The sin or blaming myself for the sin?
Both. Stop it.
But.
Okay. You're a Christian, right?
Yes.
And you believe the
yes.
Bible. Did Jesus pay for your sins or not?
Yes, he paid for my sins.
So they're paid for?
Yes.
Then stop it.
But I keep slipping up. I haven't told anyone this, but I just keep jumping in bed with men.
Oh, stop it.
Stop what?
Jumping in bed with men. Don't do that. Don't you know that people who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's 1 Corinthians 6:9. You've read that, I assume.
Yes.
Then stop it.
I don't like this counseling session.
I set you free, and you said yourself that you feel flat right now. Now I'm telling you what not to do, which is to not do what you were doing before, like being anxious for things, digging up the past, anticipating that you'll have a spirit of fear, and jumping in bed with men.
I'm not even trying to understand my deepest wounds of the past.
No. We don't go there.
You don't get it. I need inner healing.
Oh, we definitely don't go there.
Go where?
The past. Inner healing. We don't go there.
You just don't care. Where is your compassion?
action.
Don't stop that talk. I set you free, and now I'm telling you how to stay free. Don't you want to be free?
Yes.
Then stop it.
I don't like your attitude.
Stop it.
You stop it.
What's the problem?
I don't like this. You're just telling me to stop it. What kind of therapy is this?
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think maybe we're moving too fast?
Yes, that's exactly what I think. This sin has been in my life for years.
Okay. Catherine, I'm going to tell you 14 words that I think will drive the point home for you. Would you like to get a pen and a pencil for this one? Are you ready? Okay, here are 14 words. Stop it, or when Jesus comes back, he'll bury you alive in a box.
Has someone spoken to me so rudely? Much less a minister. Who do you think you are? Gosh, did Jesus ever talk to anyone like that?
Yes.
Huh?
What do you want? To believe God and be set free of all of this, or to walk out of here in bondage to sin and affliction?
It is so simple.
It is simple. I set you free, and now you don't feel any anxiety now, do you?
No, but as a matter of fact, you should.
What is that?
Because if you don't stop, I might bury you in a box.
Praise God, you're free. Stop on your head, cool your chest, and get out of here.
That's exactly what I'll do. Think you are? I'm going to tell every single member of my church what kind of useless therapy you provide here. Crazy man!
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
You can cancel next month's session for me.
Never made one in the first place.
Interesting. You know what? It's really that simple. We make it a lot harder than it's supposed to be. You know, when Jesus prayed for people, it was short and sweet. He didn't have long, drawn-out prayers, did he? It was one sentence or less. And he told me many times, less words, more power. We just release the kingdom of God, and we watch it manifest. We watch people get healed. We watch people get set free. And it's not just Dave and I. It's all believers. Who's a believer here in this room? You got a hand? Lay hands on the sick. Believe and watch them recover. It's really, really that simple. We teach children to do this. You know, they don't argue doctrine with us. They just do it. They believe and they see God manifest through them. They see people healed. We teach people that have never done it before. Quick and simple. Dave says, in 5 minutes or less, I'm going to teach somebody. And it doesn't even take that long. Just make sure they're saved. It helps if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But you have the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. Can you guys hear me? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. So, Dave and I got married 12 and a half years ago. And before I met him, I just felt like I was really ready, that God put it on my heart, it was time. I was divorced, but I just felt like I was in a place in my walk with God that I was ready. And I was talking to a friend, and I said, you know, I think it's just time. And he said, then why don't you tell God? And I said, I can't tell God. And he said, why not? I said, I don't know. So I said, okay, God, I want to meet him within 2 weeks. And so I went to this prophetic meeting, and a friend of mine was there. And afterwards, I said, do you want to get a bite to eat? She said, yes. And she said, can I invite Dave? And I didn't know who Dave was. And I said, sure. And so he came. And that was exactly 2 weeks. So our words have power when they line up with God's word, yes, and God's will. And so Dave never wanted to get remarried, but God had a bigger plan. So we met at that meeting, and then I knew he prayed for me, and I felt like butter melting over me, the power of God. And I'd been around a lot of other anointed men and women of God, and that had never happened before. And so I knew at that point that he was the one. And then I didn't see him again for about another 6 weeks. There was another meeting with this prophetic person, so I went to it, and it was in my hometown. And he came down to it, and my friend called afterwards and said, do you want to do something? I said, well, come on over. She said, can Dave come? And I'm thinking, yeah. And so he prayed for us. And at that time, it's like, oh, you prayed for me, I would fall out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we talked for a while. And then he said, do you want me to pray for you two? And we're like, sure. And I said, let's go in the front room. I have carpet on the floor. So, yeah, we both ended up on the floor. But, you know, it's not just about that. But God was doing a work in both of us. And he was doing a work in Dave, because Dave's like, I'm not getting married again. But he also was obedient to what God had for us. And he had been told by his grandma when he was just 4 years old that he was going to be like John G. Lake. And he didn't know who that was at that time. And he saw a vision of him up on a stage with a woman, but he didn't know who it was. And so there was just a field of people so big that you couldn't see the end of it. Well, that was a little overwhelming at age 4. Well, when I asked God if I should marry him, that's what I saw. And so I was overwhelmed at that age. But you know what? We've seen people healed at our wedding and every day since. Wow. Because we stepped into God's will. We were doing what he wanted us to do. We just started having home meetings at our house every Saturday night, and we still do, even when we're gone. We live in Ankeny, Iowa, and we have people that have a meeting there in our home. It's a healing room, discipleship. But God wanted us to go and spread the word. So we travel all over. We've been from coast to coast, Canada and Mexico, Belize, Haiti. And we'll go wherever God opens the door for us to go. We're going to walk through it. And we want to say thanks to Ann and Tim Fetterman. We were at their home meeting on Friday night, and we saw a move of God, and it was awesome. People were healed and set free. And every time we have a meeting, people get healed and set free. And you know what? It never gets old. Mm-hmm. Seeing people healed and set free and living life to the fullest. We had a home meeting Monday night. And the lady, she sat in her chair because she had different complications in her body. And so she had three boys, and she just had them do whatever needed to be done. before the meeting started, and they did it. They're awesome. And we were doing a webcast show on Monday night. We do one every Monday night at 7. Hey, Larissa, will you hand out the business cards? We've got business cards, and if you ever need prayer, call us. Our phone number's on there, email, website, Facebook. You can connect with us. So, and we have YouTube, and we've got all kinds of teaching on there. So check it out. All kinds of testimonies on there. But that lady, she got healed and set free. She was up running around, all excited. She was on our show. Luann was on our show Monday night. And Melissa, they said, go in there and tell your testimony quick on the show. So she popped in, and she was so excited. You know, when you're in pain and you don't feel like you can't move, you can't do anything, and when you're set free, you're just a little bit happy. So, Luann, if you'd come up, I know some of you know Luann. Luann and Bob are good friends of ours, and she was healed, and she can tell you herself.
Yeah, well, I was pretty sick for a long time. I had several kinds of arthritis. I had spondyloarthropathy. I had lupus. I had irritable bowel syndrome, and I had chronic bowel disease. And I've had some healing, because I was one of those people that they tested me. I was allergic to every single thing, including everything in my environment. And I had had a lot of healing from allergies. But I still was really sick. I was limping along. I loved the Lord. I served the Lord, but I was still sick. And I knew that God wanted me healed. I knew that He was able to heal me, but I didn't know why I was still sick. And I was getting chemo infusions for the last about 20 years. And they're really hard on your system. My immune system, 3 of my 5 numbers were 0. So they told me that if I got COVID, I'd probably die. You know, this was a year ago. But I did get COVID. I recovered just fine. But but I was sick for a long time. And I just knew that I knew that I knew God would heal me. And I knew I was going to be healed this side of heaven. Well, it wasn't going to be after I went to heaven. But I kept looking. I've studied healing ministry for the last 25 years, and I could tell you a lot about a lot of different ones. And I figured there was some sin that I wasn't aware of. You know, can you help me find it? You know, and I submitted to leadership. I lead the women's ministry at my church. And I was really searching, you know. I wanted to be obedient, and I believed God wanted me healed, so I had to find out why. And then I met Dave and Patricia at a friend's house. They were in town, and we had them as the speakers for our women's retreat. And that weekend, something just clicked, I knew that I knew that I had just received it. There wasn't anything in the way of why I was sick. I simply needed to receive it. God already did it. It was a done deal in heaven. It just needed to manifest here on the earth, and I just needed to receive it. It's that simple.
Yes.
And so that was the October before last. And so I was due for my infusion then in January. And I was like nervous, like, do I not get the infusion? What happens? Well, am I going to get really sick and then I won't be able to recover? And they said that if you don't get it and you need it, then it might not work. And so I was like really nervous, but I waited until about 2 weeks before the infusion. I called my doctor and said, I'm not going to get it. I don't think I need it. I'm doing really good. And he said, well, what do you mean? Oh, and not him, the staff, you know, especially the office manager called me back. Like, what do you mean you're not going to get it? They're $24,000 apiece, and they already had my medicine ready for me. So I said to Bob, I feel like such a heel now. You know, they got it ready. And so I said, I'm going to go get it, but I'm going to pray that nothing bad happens from taking it. So I did. I got one more, and that was 2 Januaries ago. So 16 months, no more infusions, and I'm doing really good.
Amen.
So that's a praise and a shout. And then, but I also had celiac. So, for the last 5 years, 4.5 years, I wasn't able to eat any gluten. And it just came on me. Like, my mom was celiac, her sister's celiac, but I never had it. Then all of a sudden, it just popped up, and I couldn't eat anything gluten, or I was literally chained to the bathroom. And so I just had to give up all the things, pizza and ice cream cones and all that fun stuff. Well, Dave and Patricia were in town last winter, and they stayed with me for almost a month. And they, you know, going to have hamburgers, and I'd say, well, I can't have the bun. Dave would say, life! You know, he just kept... One time he did it, and I went, oh, my water went flying. But for a whole month, they just kept blasting me. And Patricia and I stopped for ice cream, and I'd always eat the ice cream and then pitch the cone. And I took a bite of the cone. Every once in a while, it was worth like four trips to the bathroom. Just to have a little bit of ice cream cone, you know? But I ate a bite of an ice cream cone and nothing happened. So then I ate a half of an ice cream cone and nothing happened. And then I ate a whole one and now I have lasagna and pizza. And
yeah!
Like, I've been fully healed from that.
Amen.
So,
so good.
Thank you and thank God. And whatever he's done for me, he'll do for you. But he's no respecter of people, of persons. He loves us all.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you what we have on the table here, and then let's finish telling you the testimony, because we always like to give some of this out. I just listen to God and who he wants me to give what to. But part of what we're going to tell you about is... the Dave Loggie story, raised. He was dead four different times. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. You know what? He wasn't done yet. So his destiny defeated his death. And, you know, we're getting other people set free now. So his parents weren't good to him. They were being used by the devil to mess with him. But you know what? He pushed through it all.
Amen.
All the stuff. And I know there's people here that have been through a lot of stuff. But you know what? Don't let the devil hold you down. Mm-hmm. Push through it. And go into your destiny, whatever that is that God has for you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Did you guys know all believers are supposed to do that?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing it?
Working it.
Well, that's part of the reason that we're here tonight too, because we want to help push you into that. We want to see that all believers are really truly doing the gospel.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants us to do, right? You know, there's so many hurting people out there right now, especially with this COVID crap. Oh, shouldn't have said that, sorry. But, you know, we have the great physician.
Amen.
We don't have fear.
Amen.
Dave and I, we don't take medication.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 60, he's 62, right?
No.
61? Oh, okay. But praise God, we don't need any of that stuff.
Yes.
We just know who we are. If the devil tries to put something on us, we say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to take it.
Amen.
And you guys don't have to either. You know, if you stub your toe, sometimes I forget and I say, ouch. But I try to say, pain, go. Because that's how quick it can go when we just believe. So just believe. And you do it for other people too. If you have family members that are sick, family members that don't know the Lord. You know, you don't always have to do all of it in person either. It's like smart bombs. We pray and we declare over them.
Yes.
And we see it happen. We see God move on their behalf because we believe and we're a son of God. And you're all a son of God, whether male or female. So step into it, grab it, and do the work of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
So, and we have Divine Healing by John G. Lake. I know you guys heard us talking about that a little bit ago. He has an amazing ministry, and it's still going. But, you know what? Heal the sick, okay? So we have a friend of ours, Mike Politowski, that was healed from cancer. And this is a healing book, and he's a mighty man of God. So we want to see people step into that. Does anybody know anybody that has cancer? Okay, can I give this to you? Hey, Lou, can you help me? So we have power evangelism. Have you ever heard of T.L. Osborne?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I mixed them up. I read this. Power evangelism in action. A friend of ours, Mark Ellis, he's from Africa, South Africa. He wrote this book, and he's a mighty man of God. And you know what? We want to get people out there evangelizing, winning souls for the kingdom of God. Amen? And hands-on biblical healing. And Anna has already started to read that. And
I read the whole thing.
Oh, you read the whole thing already?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very captivating. Can
you come up here just for a minute? I want you just to give a brief on it. She just got it on Friday.
Wow.
So she read it that quickly. That's awesome.
Well, it's so basic. But there were things, it answered questions in here that I didn't even know I needed to know. So it was really, really good. It's very simple, straightforward. It has really nice illustrations. It's just a really good manual to have. And I just love how he put things together, the guy that did it. So I will be using it.
Amen.
Amen.
Good. Good. Thank you, Jesus. So this one is T.L. Osborne, Healing the Sick book. So I know a lot of you probably heard of him. He had a healing ministry, and him and Daisy, they had fields of people. At the end, you can see pictures. Oh, this one doesn't have it. We have different versions of it. You can see pictures where there's just a field of people that people got healed and set free and saved. And that's what God showed Dave and I both. So it's an amazing book. And we have different CDs. We teach Inside Out classes. They're online classes. And I know you've been raised from the dead, right?
Just
raise your hand. Amen.
6 days.
Praise God. You're dead 6 days?
Yes.
Oh,
once more than Lazarus. Once I am gone to the Father, you too will do what I've been doing.
Amen.
You do even greater things than these, so that the Son may glorify the Father. You may ask for me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Amen.
And my wife did, as Hebrews 11:25 says, where I didn't believe in healing. I believed in Jesus as my Savior and as my protector when I was getting shot at and mortared, but I did not believe. He still makes the lame walk and the dead rise. I was hit by a car at 52 miles an hour, and they measured the skid marks, the military policeman. Flew forward 64 feet, landed on my skull, and was dead for 5 days the day before. And she, that night, she opened up the Word, and guess what she opened it up to? The Lazarus story.
Amen.
She didn't remember it, but since Hebrews 12 says, the Word of God is like a double-edged sword.
Amen.
And she opened it right up to the Lazarus story, and she knew the Holy Spirit spoke to her. For 5 days, she prayed over me, where the doctors thought she was insane. They just kept feeding me blood because I signed my driver's license. I'd be an organ donor. On the fifth day, they said, we'll have to unhook him, and because we can't maintain the organs anymore. They walked out. The doctor walked out, so the next morning, she walked out the restroom, and my dad was at the window. And my dad was a Muslim. He got his scholarship from American University of Beirut. And he was Palestinian. Met my mother in the medical library. They fell in love with me. I got married and I love you, Lucia. He looked up out the window and he said, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, save my son. And at that moment, hell rocked and heaven released its power. For what you bound on earth will be bound in heaven.
Amen.
And what you release from heaven will be released to earth. That the next day, The army was there with my colonel, my general, all the doctors. They said, okay, we're going to do the final test. And my friends told me they all thought she was crazy when she kept praying. And she said, by the power of Jesus Christ, David raised from the dead. The doctor, my friends told me, looked like she was insane till the end. And he said, move your right arm, the only unbroken limb I had. And the Holy Spirit moved my left hand. The doctors were so overwhelmed because they were like me. The flesh fights against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are some of the most incredible brains there are. They walked intelligence-wise. They walked out of the room. They were overstricken by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then the head doctor said, oh, my general peed in his pants. He's experienced stage one. And then he said, open my eyes. I just didn't blink. I opened my eyes. I've had them open for the last 25 years.
Amen.
To go throughout the world to tell of the joy of Christ. And then he said, move your legs. And I moved both of my legs. And they finally decided to put my legs back together. And that's my story. But what I experienced, I didn't know this because I didn't read the Word. But I opened up Revelations after the accident. And I started reading it, trying to figure it out. And I discovered Revelations 8:23 that talks about the seventh angel at the altar of God offering the incense in front of the altar of God in all gold. And all I remember is this. I was told, you will have the chance of coming back here.
Amen.
But you must now go back and serve the Lord, which is what? What did Luke and Matthew said? The Great Commission, what Jesus said?
Amen.
Aha. To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul. This is the first greatest commission. I was just given a direct wake up. I'm no different than anyone here. And I came back to life when she read the John 11 to me, saying, praise God, I heard this when I was there. And that's my story.
Amen.
David Shublack. You can see my one of my testimonies on the 700 Club.
Wow. Okay.
Is it on YouTube as well?
You'd have to give me.
Yeah, now.
I'll send it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So, who else is going to raise the dead?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Give that one to him. Thank you. You know what? You never know when it's going to come in handy. What if it's a family or a friend? What are you going to do?
We're going to speak life.
Yes. Yes. Speak life over them in Jesus' name. I've raised three people from the dead in person. Dave was with me on one occasion. He raised people from the dead without me, and we've prayed for them over the phone, and they've come back from the dead. So there's nothing too big for God.
You can't drop dead today.
Yeah, if you drop dead, you'll have to come back. So, hearing God's voice. Will you give that to the lady back there in the booth? You know what? We want people to grab a hold of who God is.
You gave that to me on Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, you pick who else gets that one then. Here. Supernatural baptism. We've seen people baptized. We've seen them healed and set free. We've seen a blind eye open, the lame to walk. We've seen people set free of all kinds of sickness and disease. So grab a hold of that. We don't want people just to get wet. We want them to get healed and set free.
There you go.
So spiritual gifts. It's the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's available to every single one of us. Why don't you give that to Anna back there? And you know what? If you don't walk in all of them, you can't, right? Is the Holy Spirit just one person? So if you have the Holy Spirit, you can do it all.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So we have healing training. We want to see people healed and set free and just walking in it. Oh, she's pointing to somebody. Right there.
Raise your hand.
She thought she was getting the other one.
Okay. And who knows somebody with a life-threatening illness? That's what this one's about. Okay. You can have this one. We want to see people healed and set free, and we want to see you guys stepping into it, okay? It's not just about us, you're welcome, doing this. It's about everybody doing it.
Right.
So you might hear that a couple more times tonight. Because we want you guys to get it in your heart, okay? We want you to step into what God has for you. Healing scriptures. The guy right there on the end. These are just audio versions. Dave and I are just speaking out scriptures. And you know what? God's word does not return void, does it?
Amen.
So just receive it. And then, who I am in Christ, that gentleman right there in the blue and white shirt. And then prosperity, the lady back there in the red and white. And they're just more scriptures. And you know what? We all need that, don't we? The word of God. And this has three in one. So all three. The lady with the red hair. She's going to go on the mission field. Her and her husband, they need it. So, thank you for being missionaries. And we have just one DVD. This is a video of Dave and I. We usually see Dave in this one. But up front, the power of God was just so strong. People would just get laid out in the spirit. They didn't even come up and touch him. Some of them would just fall out. And you know what? That's God's operating table at times. People just get healed and set free because of that. So, the blonde lady back there. And then we have these worship songs, Praise Until Dawn. It's just awesome worship music. The lady in the blue right there. And this, it says, Jesus healed me. We had a young lady that got healed at one of our services. And I gave her one of these. She went to school, and she had her arm that was kind of lame from birth. It just kind of wobbled. It didn't stay right. So when she ran, she couldn't really control it. And I gave her one of these, and she wore it to school. And they asked her what it was for. And she raised her bad arm, and she said, Jesus healed me. So, you know, don't tell me you can't take Jesus into the school.
Amen.
People are doing it every day with their children. So, who knows somebody that's not here tonight that needs healing?
Yes.
Okay. I want
to.
What? Raise your hand if you know somebody. Okay. Give that to the lady behind you in the green, and then you can have that one.
Very good.
You're welcome. And then we have these t-shirts. God gave me this saying. Be Jesus to the world.
That's cool.
You know what? That's what every single one of us is supposed to do. To be Jesus to the world. So we want you guys to grab a hold of that. You know, just picture this. Picture this. Keep it in your mind eye. Be Jesus to the world. So wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, step out and be Jesus to the world. We have men's and women's. And this is a cruise. Larissa, if you could pass these out. We're going to go on a cruise. It's going to be like a missions trip, doing God's work. There's going to be people that are on the cruise ship that are from all over the countries, different countries. We're going to leave out of Galveston, Texas, and we're going to stop in Jamaica, the Cayman Islands, and Cozumel, Mexico. It's like $600 per person with double occupancy. We're going to have teaching. We're going to go out and do marketplace ministry every day at the ports, on the ship. You won't be the same after doing marketplace ministry for 7 days in a row.
what happened in Jamaica last two times?
There was a guy that was part of our team, and he was outside of a Catholic church, and there was a blind person there. And he prayed, and they got their eyesight back. And then the nun got saved. So, miracles. They help people grab a hold of it, don't they? They help see Jesus in you. It helps them to see Jesus through their flesh when they get healed. So we just travel all over doing God's work.
What about the lady in the wheelchair?
Yes, we went on one of the crews and we prayed for her. She had one of those wheelie walker things that oftentimes she would just sit on it. And she was healed. And we went to Jamaica, I think it was, Falmouth, and you climb the waterfalls. And she climbed the waterfalls. So, praise God. We get people healed wherever we are. You know, we could be in a restaurant and we see people healed. We pray for a waiter or waitress every time we go out to eat. Yeah. And you know what? You can do that too. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they end up crying. They get healed. They get saved. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They get touched by God right there. So you do it too. Okay? Can you all go like this?
Yeah.
All right. God saw you too. So come on up, honey.
I don't know if any of you have had a rough start, but my mother brought me home to the hospital, put me in front of a broken window, and had a snowdrift over my baby blanket, and I never got sick or spit up one time until 10. She really didn't want me. She let me toddle into a swarm of bumblebees. I had bumblebees all over me, and they sting you multiple times, and I just got transported out of my body, went to heaven, walked with Jesus, and before morning, I came back in my body, and I was whole. When I was 4, Grandma told me I was going to be like John Lake. I had no clue who that was, but she said, if you lay your hands on him, God will fix him. So I was laying my hands on dead animals, whatever needed fixing. I didn't say nothing. It says lay hands and believe.
Yes.
But some reason we think we got to talk a lot. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, and then it said it was a custom for people to run up and touch Jesus like a prayer cloth. There was no words. We made it too hard on ourselves. Oh, what do I say? It's releasing the kingdom is the key. God's really not a micromanager. He don't care how you do it, as long as you do it. You can either speak to the mountain or there's a touch. It really covers everything Jesus did, Peter did, Paul did. They took aprons off of Paul. You know, the apron didn't talk to the demons or talk to the people. It was the anointing that breaks the yoke. And if you're born again, the Bible says you have Jesus living in you.
Amen.
So we're teaching you how to let Jesus out without going through all this theology that everybody's got. The only hindrance is our tradition that we're hanging on to. Everybody's got some. I don't care where you come from. So my mom couldn't have babies after me, so I laid my hands on her, and I got a sister 5 years younger right to the week. And I was the kid that couldn't do anything right, and she was the kid that couldn't do anything wrong. So you've been there. You could be at the neighbor's, and it was your fault when you got home. That was my life. You know, I was always trying to win approval. You don't have to win approval for your Heavenly Father. But He does want you to grow up into Christ. And so many people are trying to get more of Christ, and they need less of you. Like a teeter-totter. You must decrease so He can increase coming out of you. And I wish people would have told me that younger, when I was younger. So my sister, when she's about 2, she bites into a thermometer with mercury, and they thought she was dying or worse, and I just walked in, laid my hands on her, and the next morning, like nothing ever happened. And then when she was 5, she fell off a pony at a walk and broke her arm at the growth center. And the doctor said it would never grow, never work. It was going to be a stiff little shriveled arm. And I got blamed for that, too. It was the shortest horse. We fell off horses. We grew up around rodeo and cowboys. We fell off so many times running, you know. It was attacking the enemy, so I got blamed for it. And I went and laid hands on her. When they took off the cast, it became her strong arm.
Wow.
She used to ride trick riding in rodeos where she could go under the horse as it ran around the arena. You don't think that's tough? Try it. Try it on a parked horse first. When they get their feet going, there's not, you got to time it, otherwise you're going to get hooved in the middle of that. She's the only woman I know that could do that. So I was starting at a young age. When after about 10, I started listening to Christians tell me all the reasons why God didn't want somebody healed. And it didn't work 100% after that. I guess there's no kids there. My dad was going to beat me to death with a hammer because I wouldn't tell him a lie. But he thought his lie was truth, so he told me to tell the truth, and I always told the truth. And he accused me of doing something I didn't do. And I wasn't going to, he knocked me across the machine shed, picked up a hammer, was going to put it in my skull if I didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. And I told him my father was in heaven. I figured I was going to go. And he froze. He never could beat me after that. But he did run me over cars, tractors, motorcycles, and I should have said, you will never harm me again. And I'll get to that in a little bit. Your words frame your world.
Jesus.
God's given you authority and dominion and all power over all the works of the enemy. But you got to speak it. I've had loaded guns by my dad a couple times in my head, and I'd say, you don't have the authority to pull the trigger, and it worked. Later in life, I made some mob people mad. They said, you got any last words while the gun's cocked? I said, yeah, you don't have the authority to pull that trigger. And they couldn't. I'm still here. But when I was 13, I just couldn't take it anymore. Because when I got to town, I'd be whole. So they didn't believe that I was a mangled mess. Because I knew Jesus was my healer. No matter what they did, he recreated everything. So I made a bomb that went off in my face. And they told me I was so stupid I couldn't kill myself right. But I was blind for about another day. Guess who walked into my room that night?
Jesus.
And I walked out with new eyes. So when I was 18, I was trying to get along with him. I was helping him jump start a tractor. And I told him not to hit the starter, and he did. And the car battery blew through these eyes, parts and acid. Guess who walked into my room that night? This is my third set of eyes. The best doctors in the country said you'd never see twice.
Wow.
I've had my back broke, my neck broke, ribs, every bone broke. I've never been to the hospital overnight. After I broke my back and was paralyzed, the next day I was throwing 100-pound boxes of meat. See, faith is an action word.
Yeah.
Well, how did Jesus do it? Get up and walk. Now, that ain't good bedside manner if you're in the medical profession. What did he tell Peter's mother? Get up and cook us something. And we start talking, that's kind of what the movie was, kind of tongue-in-cheek. Would Jesus ever speak like that? Yeah. But we've been dumbed down by our tradition, like, oh, you offended me. Well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be offended. And I'm a cowboy, truck driver, construction worker, and I've told people, I said, well, then get saved. Because if you were saved, you wouldn't be offended. Is that what the Bible says? You're a Christian, right?
Yes.
What does the Bible say?
Yes.
And that should be your highest authority, but you got to rightly divide it. We're in the New Covenant. It says in the New Covenant, all things become new. Now, does that mean some?
All.
I don't understand people that... We live under a better covenant with better promises. And the difference is, in the Old Covenant, they didn't have God living in them. In the New Covenant, he gave you the responsibility, the power, the authority, the dominion, and all spiritual blessings according to Ephesians. But we still got this old covenant mindset. We're asking God to do what he told us to do. Mm-hmm. What did he tell the first 12 to go do?
Preach,
heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and then preach, saying the gospel of the kingdom come nigh to you. Yeah. Luke says it the other way. Mark says these signs will follow a believer. That, before Patty, I was not nice. I had no friends on earth. I'd lost millions, friends, family. embezzled everything, tried to make a criminal out of me. These signs will follow them. Well, I'm a believer, none of them signs follow me. Well, you might want to check your heart a little bit. The Bible says these signs do follow a believer. A lot of people, they're fooling themselves. And since I was a little kid, everybody wanted to make a ministry out of me, and I was in a small town in the Midwest. And I didn't want to be like any flavor in town that I've seen. Most of them were Calvinist type. Uh-huh. You know, God's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. And they tell me to believe read the Bible and believe it. I said, well, it said he's the same yesterday, today. So I was kind of a troublemaker. I was filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues before I was two. And I didn't know it until I was in my 40s. So we've devoted our lives to realizing what you got and how to use it so you can win. When the devil attacks you, it should be a short. When you know who you are and who he is, he's a defeated devil. Did Jesus make a public spectacle of them all?
Amen.
They're defeated. Yes. But if you think there's a big, strong man, guess what you're going to get? And if you believe they're under your feet, what are you going to get? It's your choice. God gave it to us.
Yep.
I didn't make the rules, and I've really offended a lot of ministers. We got to go to an Indian reservation, and they asked us to go a day earlier before we got to teach John Lake School, the most scripturally accurate, the only tested 100% accurate for 100 years. He stopped a plague from a continent, shut down a hospital with 100,000 documented miracles in Spokane. Mm-hmm. You want to learn about power, authority, and dominion, let's find the greatest. Like, if you're learning basketball, you wouldn't find the worst basketball player to learn from. You'd go find Michael Jordan or somebody that knows how to win. And we need to do that in the body of believers. Find out who's got it working. To demonstrate, instead of we've got people that are just good speakers. Oh, they sound so good. Paul says, I don't preach with elegant words, but a demonstration of power. I'm glad for Paul because I'm not an elegant speaker. We went over the Indian reservation on the way over there telling about the big devils, the little devils, and all the sun gods, and all the gods on there. I said, my Bible says they're all defeated, so I got them all mad before we get there. I got kind of corrects for Jesus. It just kind of blurts out. It's got me in trouble all my life. And then miracles happen to back it up. So like, 10 guys come in, one's limp, and I just grab his leg. And I said, try it out. So they don't hurt. I said, Jesus giving out knees, 3 knees, 2 withered arms, and a withered arm grows out. Crack, crack, pop, pop. I said, who wants to make Jesus your Lord? And they all start bawling like babies. Gave their heart to Jesus. 4 of them took off in tongues. My wife gets all the women in the jail healed, delivered, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, ministering one to another. We went outside the jail cells, and all the guards got healed, delivered, born again, filled, and they came to a seminar. 6 months later, one of the pastors that was mad at me calls and says, we can't have Bible study anymore. I said, why not? He said, well, nobody's getting arrested. go find another one. See, he was speaking how hard it was all the time.
Right.
But my Bible says speak the solution.
Yes, thank you.
Let the sick say I'm
healed.
And we get to church and let the sick say I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. I guess what you're going to get? It said if you have faith, you will speak. That's how the universe was created. The Holy Ghost hovered over the deep. Jesus said light be and the universe was created. Still being created today. Expanding and prove it now by science. See, it's so simple. You will speak to your mountain and don't quit until your mountain goes. But do it out of your heart. How many scriptures tell you to be led by this? Your mind. Your emotions.
None.
Okay, so stop it. That's why we get into the emotions instead of staying in the spirit. It said when you got born again, you got a new spirit. Your spirit and Holy Spirit become one. So that means there's nothing can be wrong with your spirit because your spirit and God is one spirit.
Right.
And he said, I'll take out your stony heart and put in a new heart.
Amen.
But sometimes it feels like it because we go by feelings And your brain is saying you still got the old heart. Tell your brain to shut up.
Amen.
Stop it. It says take every thought captive. But nobody shows you how to win it, make it. That's why we put the healing scriptures, the identity scriptures. And I was a truck driver, and I didn't really know what I was doing as far as that, but I had the New Covenant playing 24/7. And I worked way too many hours, drove way too many, too fast all the time. So who knows how many hundreds of times I heard it. Pretty soon, well, I got ahead of myself a little bit. When I was 21, I come over the hill driving a cab over a freight liner, and I had a choice of hitting a parked semi or killing four people. 9 more semis piled over me. I was a bloody mess. I floated out of my body for the third time. And it's kind of funny. I followed the ambulance like a helicopter.
That's my body.
You what?
That's my body.
Anyway, I met 400 people like me that have been dead. It's all a little different. But a lot of them, if you see some of the movies now, the first time I seen the movie Ghost, it was like, oh my God, I lived that. He didn't realize he was dead. His spiritual being ran out. I'm not saying the whole movie's right, but that part. And now when you see God's Not Dead, where the guy died, and it's like, it's really like that.
Really?
No, I just made it up. I'm up here lying to you.
I'm calling.
Stop.
And it took nine ghost writers to write that book because they all, I don't believe it. I didn't ask you to believe it. I asked you to write it. So it's kind of a composite of all nine people. That's why there's a lot of short stories. I don't believe it, and I lived it. Like, wow, did I go through a lot. And I had that one stupid thing that was hitting me, like, God must be punishing me. I must have did something so bad. That's not true.
No.
Them are all the voices of the devil. I didn't understand authority and dominion when I got older. When you have authority, it will sound like you're prideful because you're going to speak like Jesus would speak or Peter would speak or Paul would speak. They were the sons of God. And you get to choose whether you're a baby, a child, or a son. And Paul says, when I was a baby, I acted like a baby. When I was a child, I acted like, but now that I'm fully grown, I put off them ways.
Okay.
And Lake got this when he stopped the plague from Africa. He says, we got to quit asking God for what the Bible says we already have.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already given it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take a while to unprocess some things.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got a keychain? I only got one key on my keychain anymore. This will help show you. She's got one, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
This kept going here, and I kept hearing this, and I heard that, and I had a fear of getting in front of people like this. I took F's in school because everybody blamed me for everything. And the second thing is the same, only a little different. He said, there's two things you never do. You never ask God for something the Word says you already have, and you've got it all. And it says, don't ask God to do what He told you to do. Be like King David. Everybody was sitting there telling God about the big giant, our all-knowing, all-powerful God that knows all things, the number of your hair and all that. We're telling God about the problem. What did David do? He told the problem about what him and God were going to do about it. That's sonship. Can you imagine me sitting here for decades saying, God, please give me the keys of the kingdom. Please, please, please. And all you can say is, I already gave it to you. I've already gave it to you. When are you going to start using it? Like, if this was like your vehicle, and I handed you the keys and told you to take off and drive it, and you come back and ask me 100 more times for the keys I just put in your hand, like, you've already got it. Andrew Womack, another one. He's got a series, you've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've missed since the day of Pentecost.
Yep.
If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got the person of the Holy Ghost living in you. You might not know how to operate all of it, but that's why we have the schools. It said all can speak in tongues, all can prophesy, all can heal, all can give words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all can do all. And if you keep it simpler, it just goes, you'll amaze yourself. So I'm on TV for the first time, in the big TV cameras. I don't know why, it was a Word of Faith church, like, why are you asking us little home church to come over to the next state? And I'm pretty nervous. When I see them big TVs, all I want to do is run out stage. And then I did the next dumbest thing. I felt the pain in my back. And I think it was the devil attacking me. But I treated it like a word of knowledge and said, anybody's got a back pain, come on up. I don't play fair. Once I learned identity, I don't play fair anymore. So three guys come up. Two on the end were, you know, they come up hobbling. You could tell they had back pain. And I just went, life, life, life. I said, now do something you couldn't do. Two guys on the end bend over, touch their toes. They were good. And the guy in the center had a white plastic suit strapped to him like Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. He had a broken neck, a broken back, and 9 broken ribs. He just came from the emergency room. Car wreck. Kind of like that young man. Except he could kind of go like this. And it seemed like it took forever. And finally he peeled it off and danced around the church.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a good night tonight, you know. Like, but if you ask me, I had no faith. I wanted to run off. Like, we're going to look stupid and our ministry is over. And that's what the devil's going to do. Next time you want to push through a place where you've had trouble, it's one more step.
Yeah.
So then I did the next carnally dumbest thing, but I believe in God. We had our first 6 students. I lined them up. And I said, if anybody's got knee trouble, I want you to come up, and as soon as you get healed, I want you praising God and thanking Him. We're going to teach you how to release the kingdom instead of praying for the sick. Peter's shadow, the kingdom comes nigh you, pushes the kingdom of darkness away, and just fixes you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So within 1 minute, every one of our students, 6 people got new knees, and then we got emails and text messages. Their diabetes was gone, their high blood pressure, internal things. We didn't even know what was wrong with it. It's like the little kid we baptized. We didn't even know he was blind until he was running around the fire pit with no glasses. He had a pop bottle glasses, but he was totally blind in one eye, and he was abused. His mom says, where's your glasses? He says, I can see better without them. I can even see out of my blind eye. What? I didn't even know he was blind. We've had people that we couldn't get delivered any other way, and we just say everything that's not of God stays in the water, and only the new man or the new creation comes up.
Amen.
We got some wild videos. I'm amazed. I'm kind of like a poker face. I don't look amazed. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. When you're starting out, you're going to see things you've never seen before. We were at Destiny, 3 weeks ago? The pastor talked to me a little bit, and he said, I might call you up for your testimony. He handed me the mic, and it was like 3 hours later. Blind people, blind ladies' eyes, and one was almost blind. Backs, knees, whatever they come up with. They said he'd never done that before. Mark said he'd been there, 26 years? He says, he never does that. And then we got done, he said, you know, this man that I'd never met before preached everything on my notes.
Yeah.
So then I was so lucky, I lost millions in a divorce. Everybody in my town, including my family, turned and bought the judge and the attorneys and tried to make a criminal. So I went from a millionaire to a negative $100,000 net worth. No money, no credit. They brainwashed my kids against me. And then I got hit by lightning twice in 1 month. Don't ever say it can't get worse. But it really wasn't natural lightning, but everybody had seen it. It fried a semi both times. It was like Elijah lighting the altar, or when Solomon made the temple right, God lit it with like fire from heaven or lightning. John Lake taught the lightnings of God would go through the church and everybody get healed and set free without even ministering to them. And I didn't know any of that stuff back then.